You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. While the acceptability of smoking and vaping in public is going through a transformation, public perception of other drugs is also changing in the other direction. Recreational marijuana is now legal in 3 states and decriminalized in many others, and psychedelic mushrooms are starting to be used for medical reasons. Some doctors are now using their main ingredient to treat anxiety and depression in cancer patients and also to help people overcome addiction. Author and journalist Michael Pollan usually writes about food, often about your more garden variety mushrooms. But in a recent New Yorker article, he writes about the history and the resurgence of this psychedelic research. He sat down with Leah Rose from the Upshot podcast to talk about what he calls the trip treatment.
Could you tell us a little bit about R. Gordon Wasson, who introduced magic mushrooms to the West, and about the woman who he learned about mushrooms from in Mexico?
Yeah, Maria Sabina. Well, there had always been rumors that Native Mexicans had a psychedelic drug that they used in their religious observances. And there had been tales of these magic mushrooms that had been bouncing around the ethnobotanical circles. There was a guy named R. Gordon Wasson who was actually a banker at J.P. Morgan in New York, very upstanding guy who was obsessed with mushrooms. He was an amateur mushroom hunter, mycologist, and he was married to a woman who was Russian, and she knew a lot about mushrooms, and Russians are passionate about mushrooms. And he invested a lot of resources tracking down these rumors, and he found this woman, a curandera, it's called. It's like a shaman or a healer, who in southern Mexico, I think in Oaxaca, who agreed to let him participate in a mushroom ceremony. Turns out they had been going on continually since the conquest. The conquistadors had tried to suppress mushroom worship because it was pagan. And she was persuaded to administer mushrooms to him in this all-night ceremony. And he has a mind-blowing experience. And he comes back and writes an article, 15-page article in Life magazine.
It just seems like such a big subject, and there's so much to write about and so many different avenues you could have gone down. How did you pare it down?
I wrote about this end-of-life anxiety trial because it's the most moving. I mean, you know, everyone is afraid of death. We all have existential distress. That's their name for the condition these people have, you know, to one degree or another. And talking to people as they face death is a very profound experience. And I focused on this one character who I never met, who died before I started this research. But I was able to recreate him on the page using his own words because he'd kept a wonderful journey of his experience, journal of his experience, and interviewing his wife. And his wife generously gave me permission to have access to his the notes of his therapist. So I had two accounts of what was happening in that room. And when I read his account, I realized he was the one to organize this around and that this was the way to connect – to get people connected to this story. And indeed, you learn in the first line of the story that he does eventually die. So there's no suspense there. But the suspense is, how does he die? Does he die in a better way than he would have if he hadn't taken this drug? And the answer clearly for him was yes.
So after writing this article and researching it and talking to all the top researchers who are working in the psychedelic therapy field, were you at all curious to try psychedelics yourself?
Yeah. It definitely made me curious because I talked to so many patients and they had the most amazing experiences and they were life-changing. And then I think, well, do I want to change my life? And so I'm both curious and frightened of them. Because people also have these, you know, grueling, you know, trying experiences on these things. They can really bring up trauma. They can bring up, you know, all sorts of issues. And people see scary things. And the bad trip is a reality. And you never know. You're always tossing the dice. What was kind of appealing about doing it this way, which is to say in a guided psychedelic trip as these patients do, is that there's someone there with you who understands what's going on and knows exactly what to say if you get into trouble. And that's very different than using these drugs recreationally, as we say, in that you can be kind of out there on a limb by yourself when bad things happen. So if it were possible to have one of these experiences in that kind of environment, which of course is not really possible unless you participate in one of these trials, I would be intensely interested to see what I could learn.
I found it really interesting how you described the room where the research takes place and, you know, how it was decorated. And I'm curious if you think that had any effect on the experiences that people had.
Without question. I mean, one of the really lessons of 60s research with psychedelics is that the physical setting and your mindset have a lot to do with what will happen. And that these drugs are – they're not predictable in their effects. They're unlike other kinds of drugs and that they're highly suggestible. And so, for example, if you're with a therapist who has Freudian tendencies, you will have Freudian insights and ditto if you have a Jungian therapist or a behavioral therapist. So the environment in which you do this and the person you're with has a big effect. And so they tried to set up the room so that it was as – living room-like as possible and not – it didn't feel medical. There was a comfortable couch and there were bookshelves and on the shelves were, you know, books of art and spirituality. And then, you know, part of the experience too is that you're not sitting up on that couch. You're lying down and you have – you're wearing an eye shade or an eye mask and you're listening to music on headphones.
Can you tell us about some of those experiences that some of the patients had – and how they were actually able to wipe out something as big as existential panic?
The drug is psilocybin that I focused on, which is the ingredient in magic mushrooms. And it is a milder psychedelic than LSD. It doesn't last quite as long. The effects are not as intense. But nevertheless, it's still a pretty intense experience, especially at the doses that they were administering. And these were mostly people who had cancer diagnoses, some of whom were dying, some of whom were in remission and very terrified of a recurrence. And their anxiety about their cancer or their oncoming death was paralyzing their ability to function in the present. And, you know, at one level, if you said to me, you know, you have a terminal diagnosis, do you want a trip now? You know, it seems like the last thing you'd want to do. But some of these people were in pretty desperate straits and this offered some relief and they tried it. And in many cases, it gave them incredible relief, kind of mind-blowing because only one experience would have this effect. And what would happen to people – I mean, people had very – everybody's trip is different. But the people who were grappling with death or cancer often had a kind of rehearsal of death. That was an important part of their journey. Some people described going up to a precipice and looking out over this great plane of consciousness, which they interpreted to mean this is life after I'm dead. This is where I will go. And somebody had an experience of she was zipping around as if in a video game, going all over the world, all over time, and then suddenly, boom, she comes smack up against the wall of a crematorium. She
wow.
Said, oh my God, this is my death. And but she didn't have an experience of burning and or pain. But then from having had this freedom to move around, she found herself going into the soil and being taken up by the roots of trees and realizing, oh, that's what will happen to me. That seems okay. That seems fine. But having had that experience gave her a lot of equanimity about what was about to happen.